But if you don't want him as your personal Savior, and you want to work your way to heaven, and you want to try to justify yourself before God when you can't, then go ahead and waste all your time. I'm just telling you, you better receive Christ as your Savior. And you better do it while you still have time, while you're still breathing. I got a call from, I got an email last night. And this young man, who's a preacher, named Rick Harless, all of a sudden he just dropped dead the other night. You say, well, you're trying to scare us into being saved by telling us about dead people. No, I'm trying to tell you the reality of life. You don't have any guarantee of tomorrow. And whatever you're going to do with the Lord, the Bible continually tells you to do it now. Revelation 20:14 to 21:1. In Revelation 20:14, we're told, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And this is when, actually, the interior of the earth, the surface of the earth, the atmosphere of the earth, everything having to do with the earth, is cast into itself, if you will, and it becomes the lake of fire, burning forever and ever as a huge ball of fire. This is the second death. You don't want to be there. I will never experience the second death. Why? I've been born again. Once I was born again spiritually by trusting Jesus Christ, then I don't fear this lake of fire. The Bible says very clearly, being born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. 56 years ago, the word of God convinced me that Jesus was the only one who could save me from this second death. And he indicated he would have to give me a new birth. I came to Jesus. Do you know how to give yourself a new birth? How do you go about it? What do you do? You think you can transform yourself? You think there's some miraculous way that you can give yourself a new birth? No, there's only one way it can happen. You have to trust God to give it to you, and you have to believe that Jesus is the one who was sent by God, so you can trust in him. He's the only one who can give you the new birth. When you put your faith in Christ, he comes alive in you and lives in you forever, and your name becomes a permanent part of the book of life, and it can never be blotted out from that day on. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the final judgment. This is what you're going to be cast into right here. Right now, the earth inside, I believe this is what is called the lake of fire. They call it Gehenna now, hell. Not Hades, but Gehenna. And throughout the Bible, you'll find in the Old Testament it's Sheol. But in the New Testament, it's Gehenna and Hades. And Gehenna is what this is. Gehenna is the lake of fire in the earth. During the tribulation period, according to the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, there is to be a ripping open in the Jordan River Valley, and a flood basalt plain, 1,600 furlongs, is to come up with the blood of the earth to a depth of 5 feet. This is what the Antichrist is cast into. It is an extension of hell underneath the earth coming up on the surface. So yes, it's all the lake of fire. But by the end of the millennial reign of Christ, after he comes back, after 1,000 years, the earth is going to be burned. And all of this and its atmosphere is going to become just like this. You're going to have nothing but a huge lake of fire across the surface of the entire earth, and the planet is going to burn and burn and burn and burn and burn forever. That's where these people are going to be cast, back into the very earth that they thought so much of, that they loved so much, that they invested their hearts and their lives in it, wouldn't come to Christ, wouldn't believe in this new heaven and new earth, and this is where they're going to end up. They're going to be on the same earth that they were on during their lifetime. But it's going to be a continuously burning lake of fire that will last forever and ever. Now, could I be wrong about where this is positioned, what the lake of fire is? Well, yes, I could. But I'm not wrong about there being a lake of fire. And I'm not wrong about there being a Gehenna and a hell. And I'm not wrong about where souls go. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first earth and the first heaven were passed away. This new heaven and this new earth is going to be completely separated from this forever. By the grace of God and Jesus Christ, I'm going to be in that kingdom. I'm going to be on that new heaven and new earth. Where I'm going to live there hasn't been decided yet. My life hasn't been finished. I haven't run my race completely. I haven't finished the course. I haven't completely fought a fight. But when Jesus comes back, if I'm found running the race, fighting the fight, keeping the faith, then I have a good chance to live inside a beautiful, marvelous city, three-fifths the size of the United States, that comes down on a new heaven and a new earth. But I have the new earth assured. I'm going there. I'm going to receive a glorified body. I'm going to be ecstatically happy. You say, well, how? By grace. By grace. By grace. Unmerited favor. Mercy. Forgiveness of God. I'm totally dependent upon God to carry out his promise in me. I have no faith in myself, anything I've ever done or ever could do. My faith is totally in Jesus Christ. This is what I believe. And I saw the new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is going to be a continual lake of fire. I'm going to be on a new heaven, a new earth. I won't need water anymore. I won't need food anymore. The clothing, whatever God gives me, is what I'll have. I'll be there, and I'll be happy. But I want a good job. I want to be given something productive to do in heaven. If I serve my master here, he'll give me a good job there. If after you're saved and you trust Christ, he's going to give you a good job there. The question is, do you want a good job? Or you just want to sit up there in a glorified body? You'll feel a whole lot better. Your joy will be much greater if you're working for the master in heaven. All the interior lakes of liquid rock in the earth were where all three will be cast initially. That's where all of them are put initially. They're put in the bottomless pit. For 1,000 years, you're going to have the devil and the false prophet and the Antichrist in interior lakes of liquid rock in the earth for 1,000 years. When the Bible states death, grave, and hell will be cast in the lake of fire after that, does it mean the whole earth will become a ball of fire whose surface is like a lake of fire? I believe it does. And I believe that the earth itself will become a burning lake of fire in all particular areas of it. Now in Revelation 20, 1 through 3, remember in Sunday school, we went over this, and we covered Revelation 19, 19, then Revelation 19, 20, then Revelation 19, 21, and we went right on through to the end of the 19th chapter. Then we came now to Revelation 21 through 3. I'm continuing it continuously. So for those of you that were here in Sunday school, I'm going right on where I left off from Sunday school. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit. That's Abyssu Phreatos. He clays to Phreatos, tes Abyssu, the shaft of the bottomless pit. Those red lines that we've discovered that go down through the earth and make contact with these great underground liquid lakes of rock called magma are shaft abysses that lead down into the earth. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, this all sounds so strange and different. God told Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Last chapter. Shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. God indicated in the last days that man would run to and fro under the earth, to and fro above the earth, and to and fro across the earth. Man's knowledge would be tremendously increased. I think this generation can understand where the lake of fire is. I think they can understand the tribulation period. I think they can understand how the blood of the earth is coming up on the earth, because this generation is the generation that needs it, because you're already seeing part of it happening in the earth, and you're going to see more and more of it. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, Revelation 21 through 3, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. He puts him in the bottomless pit. That's where the lake of fire is. Already, the beast and the false prophet who were cast into the lake of fire that came up in the Jordan River Valley are now down in the interior of the earth, and he joins them there. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, and bound him there 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, the Abyssu Phreatos, the shaft abysses that lead down into hell, and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. He spiritually binds him in the interior of the earth. You say, well, now, wait a minute. The devil's a spiritual being. How can he be confined to a literal physical material place? The same way that God says he's going to confine four angels into the river Euphrates, which is a literal physical material H2O river. The same way that he confines spirits and souls to human bodies, which are literal and physical. But the spirit and soul aren't. How long is he going to stay down there in the bottomless pit in the earth? Till 1,000 years should be finished. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. He's let loose toward the end of the 1,000 years. For a little season, he goes out and tells all the people that what happened 1,000 years before in this great tribulation period, when the earth was shaken and all these terrible things happened, that it was just a period in the history of the earth where the isostasy, the balance of the earth, had to be changed, and it occurs ever so few million years, and there it had to happen, and he's going to convince the earth. So after having served God for 1,000 years, rather belligerently, then the nations of the earth will once again come against Israel, and this time God's going to send fire down directly from heaven, and he's going to destroy this earth, and all that liquid rock underneath is going to come out on the surface, and it's going to become a raging, huge ball of fire, which is what I believe the lake of fire is. You say, well, Brother Michael, that all sounds strange. Well, I'd like to hear your explanation of what the lake of fire is. It's the only thing I've ever discovered that made sense. It's going to be there, wherever it is, but I guarantee you it's not pleasant, regardless of whether what I'm showing you is correct about its exact location. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. And it shall come to pass in that day. Now, we're going to take a look at Revelation 21 through 3. We've already looked at it. And here we have the devil, and he's put in a bottomless pit, the earth. Is he put there all by himself, and are his demonic hordes allowed to stay on the earth? Right now, in this room, while I'm talking to you, there are demons. You say, I don't believe that. There are fallen angels. They're here. They affect you every day of your life. They don't want you to believe you're they're there. They'd rather you think they don't exist. The devil would like for you to believe he doesn't exist. But every day of your life, those demons are continually trying to get you, to lead you into sin. If you're lost, they're doing everything they know to spiritually influence you not to receive Christ. If you're saved and you haven't united with the church, they're doing everything they can to find giving you ways to rationalize not doing it. If you're saved and you're scripturally baptized, you're already a member of a church, they're doing everything they can to turn you against the other people in the church or against the Word of God to give you some reason justifiably in your own mind not to come to church. That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And this will come to pass, Isaiah 24, 21 through 23. This was written over 700 years before Revelation 21 through 3 was written. Revelation 21 through 3 was written by John, 95, 96 AD. Isaiah 24, 21 through 23 was written about 700 BC. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high. The host of the high ones that are on high are referring to all of Satan's fallen demonic horde. The word that is used in the New Testament for heaven is Uranos. There are three heavens. The first heaven, our atmosphere. The second heaven, where the sun, moon, and stars exist. And the third heaven, where God exists. Right now, the host of the high ones that are on high are the demonic beings who are led by Satan. They'll go into the bottomless pit with him. How do I know? And the kings of the earth upon the earth. See, this is not government rulers. When it says the host of the high ones that are on high and the kings of the earth upon the earth, these are the earthly rulers. But the host of the high ones that are on high are the spiritual kingdom on this earth that Satan now dominates and controls. And they, both the kings of the earth who lead the nations against Israel in the final battle of Armageddon, and the host of the high ones that are high, the whole spiritual demonic horde, those three frogs that came out that are the spirits of the of demons running across the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners. Where? In the pit. In the New Testament, it's called the bottomless pit. In the Old Testament, it's simply referred to as the pit. At the same time that Lucifer, Satan, is taken and put into the bottomless pit, according to Isaiah 24, 21 through 23, so will all of his demonic horde, and they will be prisoners in the pit. God says that he's going to loose Satan for a little while in Revelation. After that, he must be loose for a little season. Well, these others are going to be shut up with him in the same place, in prison. That's what it's going to be. It's a prison for Satan. It's a prison for them. And just like Satan's going to be loosed and let out at the end of the thousand-year reign, so is this demonic horde. And shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days, a thousand years, shall they be visited. In other words, they will be visited. They will be unleashed out of the prison, just like Satan is. Now, this man wrote more than 700 years before the birth of Christ, yet he wrote the same thing. You will discover in the Bible 40 different men writing over a 1,500 to 1,600-year period have absolutely no prophetic inconsistencies. They blend together just like a hand goes into a glove, hopefully a better fit than O.J. Simpson's. Then the moon shall be confounded. At that time, the glory of God will be unveiled, and the moon and the light we receive from her and the light we receive from the sun will be ashamed. Because he will be the light of the city, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. Now, I've presented all this to you, certainly not to impress you, but to make you realize that there is such a thing as a first and a second resurrection. Resurrection 25 through 6, but the rest of the dead live not again until the thousand years were finished. If you die and you don't know Christ, your body's going into a grave. Your soul's going into hell. It's going to stay there until the thousand years is finished. And then your soul and your old body are going to be reunited. You're going to stand before a great white throne of judgment, and you're going to hell. This is the first resurrection. Before this, a thousand years before, it describes in Revelation 24 the first resurrection. I'm going out in the first resurrection because I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Blessed and holy, ecstatically happy, Makarios, and holy, set apart, is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Hagaso is holy. God set me apart from the lost, saved me, cleansed me by his son's blood, made me whole, made me justified before God by the blood of Christ, and I'm going to have a part in that first resurrection because of what he did. The second death doesn't have any power on me. On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. All my life, I've been heard and been given the impression by many preachers, oh, once you become a child of God, you're going to rule and reign with Christ. I don't disagree with that. You're going to rule and reign with him. But they give the impression like everybody's going to be doing the same reigning and everybody's going to be doing the same ruling, and it doesn't really matter whether or not you serve God after you're saved. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't disagree that all the saved will rule and reign with him, but I want to ask you this. How much do you think you'll reign with him? And how much do you think you'll rule with him? And what kind of a position will he give you in heaven? And what kind of a job will he give you in heaven? The question is not whether the saved are going to rule and reign with Christ. It's to what degree? Just about as much as you did here after you were saved. God put the local New Testament church down here so after you were saved, you could unite with it, become a part of it, worship in it, serve in it, and love God. He put it so you could be a living, functioning part of it, so you could have a representative meaning in your life. If you're not willing to rule and reign with Christ here in his local church, if you're not willing to be in the presence of where Christ makes himself known, don't expect him to give you a great job in heaven or to rule in such a way that you're up there setting ruling just like everybody else, even though you wouldn't serve him down here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. But whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You mean to tell me that after the Lord has told you in Ephesians 2:22, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit, that his Spirit indwells each local church, you mean to tell me that after that you wouldn't come and worship him in church? You wouldn't serve him? You wouldn't be faithful? Well, don't expect him to give you a very great reigning position or expect him to let you minister to him as a priest in heaven. You may think it won't matter to you once you get there, but I guarantee you it will. I do not question that born-again believers will reign with Christ, but I assure you that the degree to which they reign with him depends on how well they performed as his priest in this life. A priest must perform in the place and manner designated by God. This is not something that you have as a choice. After you've been saved, if you're going to be a priest of God, and you're going to rule and reign with him as a priest in heaven, then you better learn to perform right now in this life in the place and manner designated by God. After you get saved, this is what God tells you to do. Whether you do it or not, it's up to you. 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also are as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. After you get saved, you're a newborn babe, then the first thing you do is to do what Peter commanded the church at the house of Cornelius to do. He commanded them to be baptized. That's the way you become a member of one of the Lord's churches. You get baptized by the proper authority, just like Jesus did, just like every one of the members of the first New Testament church did. You are built up. You're bound together as a spiritual house. That's what a local church is. The church is not universal and invisible. That's the family of God. When you get saved, you're a newborn babe, and you're going to heaven, and that's it. You've been born again. I don't care whether you call yourself a Lutheran, a Presbyterian, a Baptist, a Methodist, Church of Christ, whatever you want to call yourself. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're saved. That has nothing to do with the church, but it has everything to do with what afterwards you're supposed to do. As a child of God, you're supposed to unite with a local church, and you're supposed to serve with God in that church. That's all I can do. I can only tell you about it. You won't go to hell if you don't, but you're going to be sorry in the heaven age if you didn't. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. This is 1 Peter 1:23. In 1 Peter 1:23, just before 1 Peter 2:5, which I just read, it tells you how to be born again. Being born again, born from above, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. The word of God is an incorruptible seed that exists and abides forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You have to be saved by believing what God said. He said, then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I got saved 56 years ago. And that word liveth and abideth forever, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, look back down in 1 Peter 2, 2-5. As newborn babes, once you get saved, desire the sincere milk of the word. That's what I'm giving you now, that you may grow thereby. So you can become more of a spiritual person toward God. So you can become a better priest, better prepared for rulership in heaven, better prepared for priesthood. This is where you learn how to do it. This is where you put your body and your heart and your mind and your effort. If so be, you've tasted the Lord is gracious. Some people have no idea how gracious the Lord is. They think that all Jesus did was die so they could go to heaven. Jesus not only died so you could go to heaven. That's the only way you can go, by trusting in him. He's alive and he'll save you. But when you start serving him in his church and putting your heart and your life and your soul into it that he's saved, you'll discover he's more gracious and marvelous than you ever possibly imagined. If you only know him as Savior, you know a very small portion about Jesus Christ. To whom coming? Verse 4. That means to keep on coming. It doesn't mean when you first come, because he's already said as newborn babes. It means to keep on coming. Keep on coming to church. Keep on serving. Keep on learning. Keep on growing. To whom coming as into a living stone? He's alive, very much alive. It doesn't do you any good to join a church unless you've been born again. When you've been born again, then you're a candidate to join a church. But until you've been born again, don't even think about it. disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones. You've got to be born again to be a part of a church, because then it's Christ in you that leads you to baptism. You know you ought to be baptized. Christ walked over 50 miles to be baptized. All the members of the first New Testament church were baptized. You have no excuse before God for not being baptized. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. You're built up a spiritual house by an addition through baptism to the church and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Well, the choice is yours. Always has been, always will be. Never has been mine. I thank God it isn't. I thank you, God, you have to make the choice. You want to go to heaven? You're not going without Jesus, and you'll definitely go with him. The question is, do you have him? Do you know him? I hope you do. I hope you do. If you don't, let me tell you how hard it is to be saved. You have to want to be saved, and you have to ask Jesus to save you. You say there's got to be more to it than that. There would be if he hadn't finished all the redemptive work at Calvary. You need a Savior this morning? If you come this morning wanting to be saved, I guarantee you, you will be saved. What about your baptism? Are you scripturally baptized? Can you walk out of here tonight and say, I've done what Jesus wanted? Can you walk out of here this morning and say, are you a member of this church? How regular is your attendance? Where's your heart? How dedicated are you to serving God in it? These are questions that exist between you and God alone. But God's Spirit works on your heart. You know what you ought to do, and you know where you ought to be, and you know what you ought to be doing. Because if you're saved, Jesus reminds you constantly. All I can do is urge you to do what God leads you to do in your heart. As Daryl comes, as the pianist comes, I've shown you God's Word. The rest is a personal matter between you and His Spirit. This morning, if God's dealing with you, don't sit there. Do what I did. I sat there and fought it for years. And finally, I just got up. And the moment I got up, it was all over, because finally the Holy Spirit had gotten through to my heart and I realized I had to have Jesus, and he's mine now and I'm his, and he'll never leave me nor forsake me. This morning, won't you come and just leave it up to Jesus? He'll take care of whatever's necessary. What number, Daryl? 378.